Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, making our way this week toward the celebration of Pentecost and just trying to draw out from the scripture and from the catechism, the teaching of the church, the reality of what Jesus has accomplished and the reality of what the church is celebrating in these days. My prayer for you, for me, for all of us is that these would not just be ordinary days, that you could stop somewhere in the busyness of daily life, maybe go to a Blessed Sacrament chapel or find a quiet place and take up God's word and read through the account of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, read through chapter 1 where it talks about the ascension, take up the catechism, just look it up and say, what does the catechism say about the ascension of Jesus? What does the catechism say about the Holy Spirit? What does the catechism say about Pentecost? And go after God. Jesus said that the Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask because he's a good Father. And he knows what we need, and what we need is the Holy Spirit, but he calls us to hunger and thirst, to cry out to God for more of the Holy Spirit. Friends, the whole meaning of your life, I mean, there's nothing deeper in your life than this. God, your Father, has come to save you in Jesus, his Son. And he does it through Jesus' passion, life, death, resurrection, and his ascension into glory. And his Son is now at his right hand. And the Father has given him responsibility and authority and power over all of his creation. And Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in his humanity. This is the astounding miracle. Human flesh has been glorified in Jesus. The new thing God the Father is doing that's going to last for all eternity in perfect bliss and harmony and joy and freedom, it's begun in a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit to us in his glorification ultimately, because that Spirit gets poured out. It's only when, and this is what John's Gospel said, only when the Son is glorified will the Spirit be poured out. He's glorified. That means he's in the rightful his rightful place. He's in the place of control. He's in the place of dominion. He's in the place of authority over all of creation. Everything's subject to him now. And he's going to complete the thing that the Father had commissioned him to do, and that is to bring home his lost children and ultimately to bring about a whole new creation. Jesus will do that. And the church is born of the Spirit, which we're going to see and as we take a look at the first part of the story of Pentecost today, and I'll finish it tomorrow. This outpouring of the Spirit gave the apostles power. Jesus told them, don't jump into the mission, the great commission which I called you to go make disciples of all nations. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit who will come upon you. You can't forgive sins. You can't celebrate the Eucharist. You can't preach the gospel. You can't come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. You can't manifest the charisms. You can't bring anybody from darkness to light without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first agent of the church's mission. And if you're baptized, Jesus said, unless you be baptized by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That the kingdom of heaven is for the children of God. It's for those who bear the image of Jesus, which means those who bear his Spirit, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. It's those who he gave power to become children of God that will reign with him forever. And so Pentecost is the day when the glory of Jesus is revealed because the Spirit is sent by his authority upon the apostles. And human history changed forever, forever. And hope was poured into the earth, into earthen vessels. Peter and Matthew, people just like you and just like me, They needed power, a new capacity to live a new way of life, to live differently, and to accomplish the Lord's purpose. They trusted him. John Paul II described Pentecost this way. He said, today the church, he was talking 1998 on the Feast of Pentecost. He said, today the church rejoices at the renewed confirmation of the prophet Joel's words, which we have just heard. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He's talking to 500,000 lay leaders and lay people, lay movements from around the world. He said, you present here are the tangible proof of this outpouring of the Spirit. Each movement, at the lay movements he's talking about there in particular, is different from the others, but they're all united in the same communion, the same mission. Some charisms, these are gifts of the Spirit, given by the Spirit, burst in like an impetuous wind, which seizes people and carries them to new ways of missionary commitment to the radical service of the gospel by ceaselessly proclaiming the truth of the faith. The Spirit seizes us. It seized the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came upon them as they're waiting in the upper room, and they began to, let's just read it, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them, that is, the apostles, speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? It lists all the places where they're from. They're really stunned and astounded. They were hearing the apostles, it says, telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is anoint the church, not to talk about ourselves, not to grumble and complain, not to be enamored by our own thoughts, but to declare the mighty works of God. That's what the Spirit is interested in communicating through us. One of the reasons why, in many places, the message of the church is not very, it's not powerful. It's almost empty words sometimes, because we're not talking about the mighty works of God. We're talking about a lot of other stuff that's irrelevant ultimately. The passage goes on, it says, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So what happened to the apostles was so clear, it was so visible. Again, St. John Paul II said, what happened on the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles stirred their deepest energies and thrust them into the marketplace to begin to declare the great works of God. And under the anointing of the Spirit, amazing things happened. A rush of a mighty wind shook the place. The tongues of fire rested upon them. The fire of the Holy Spirit came upon them. There's a visible sign. And they went forward and they were speaking in tongues. And here, it's not 100% clear. Maybe some of our good Bible scholars can write and correct me on this, but it looks to me like it's a miracle of hearing. As Peter and the apostles are preaching, everybody hears them speaking in their native tongue. There's different kinds of tongues. Paul talks about the gift of tongues, which is a personal prayer language, where we give praise to God in a language we don't even understand. I could say more about that maybe next week or the week after. I'm going to dive more into the implications of Pentecost. But then there's also a prophetic tongue where Paul mentions people stand up and they give a prophecy in a tongue, and it's meant to be interpreted by somebody who's given the gift to interpret what's being said in the Spirit. And then, of course, there's being able to speak in a language that's not your own, and I guess you're apparently also to hear. There's a miracle of hearing here as well. So they're asking, they're saying, they're amazed at what they see. But then it says in verse 14, Peter stood up. This is so beautiful. Here's where the drama begins to unfold. And who stands up but Peter, who just a couple of months earlier on Holy Thursday did anything but stand up. He backed away from Jesus. And I think it was the gospel referred to him and said they followed him at a distance. Things weren't looking good. And they protected themselves and were filled with fear. Peter denied even knowing Jesus, despite the fact that he said he would never do that. And his weakness and his sin, his cowardice was revealed. And we're no different. And these are the kinds of people that Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit upon. He doesn't have another choice. There are no other human beings other than those who are broken and sinful. He does prefer the humble to the proud. He prefers the lowly and the humble. And he pours out mighty power and grace on weak people, the weakest of men. St. Francis would say he was the, you know, when his brothers asked him, I think it was Brother Masio, was yelling one day, or Brother Leo, just saying, "Why you? Why you? Why is the whole world coming to you? Why has God given you so much?" And Francis said, because the Lord told him he was the weakest he could find. A sinful man. God always chooses the weak to humble the proud because it's pride that's killing us. But Peter stands up, that brother renewed now by the Spirit. He lifted his voice, says, it's beautiful. And he declares now, where is he? He's in Jerusalem, in the temple. What is it? The Feast of Pentecost. It's a Jewish feast that celebrates the commemoration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. It's also a harvest feast. And so this is the day that the new law comes. What's the new law? It's the love of God written on the human heart. Remember what I said yesterday about what the prophets were saying? The commandments are not going to just exist on stone. God's going to put his law in our hearts. He's going to give us new hearts to love God and love our neighbor. Right? So here's what Peter said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is really important. Pentecost begins the last chapter of human history. The Bible talks about it as the final hour. This is kind of eschatological. We're in the last times. It's the time of the church. It's the time of God's mercy. The Catechism calls it the time of the Spirit and of witness, the time of waiting and watching for the return of the King. He said, "In these last days, it shall be," he's quoting the prophet Joel, "God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Peter is saying, this age, this final age that Joel prophesied, has begun in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the key to it is that the Holy Spirit is not just given to a king like David or a prophet like Moses. It is poured out on all flesh. This is God's saving work to gather for himself a people of his own. Hope you can tune in tomorrow, friends. We'll continue Acts 2. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.